إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, I am in Bhubaneswar, which is a very Hindu city. It is where the famous Jagannath Puri temple is. The Konark Sun temple is about 70 kilometers from here on the sea. I went yesterday into the city. It's a small city. It's about 1 million people. But nice wide roads, very good surface roads, no potholes and all that. Very nice old buildings, the government buildings and so on, very, very impressive. And extremely clean, very, very clean. I didn't see any trash anywhere at all. What I did see getting into the city, not inside the city, but getting into the from the outskirts coming into the city, was literally I think in a distance about 15 kilometers, 15, we would have passed about over 100 cattle, but all very well trained, on the sitting on the sides of the roads, not in the middle, but cows everywhere and bulls. I'm giving you this this sketch of where I am, because I usually talk about that in the further reminders. Also to speak about two things. One is the it's the almost complete absence of Muslims. I didn't see any sign of Islam whatsoever, and I did not see a single Muslim. The only Muslim I met is in the Xavier University campus in the guest house where I'm staying. He's the caretaker here, who's a Muslim guy who specifically came to meet me. And he said that the administrator told him that tumhara bhai aa raha hai, which is a double-sided statement. Tumhara bhai meaning I am Muslim, therefore I am his brother, which also means that he and I are both not the brothers of the one who spoke that. So it's an interesting comment. But I didn't see any masajid, I didn't hear the adhan this morning, which of course makes me very sad. It's not to say that there are no Muslims, I'm sure there are Muslims, I'm sure there are masajid, but I just didn't see them, so wallahu alam. I'm at the Xavier campus, and there are four photographs that will come with this Fajr reminder. First is the emblem of the Xavier University, and you will see that the emblem is on the foundation of a statement which says for the greater glory of God, and that's the title of the Fajr reminder today as well, for the greater glory of God. Xavier University is founded by the Saint Xavier's Jesuit Society of priests, and they have many such institutions all over the country and of course all over the world. Catholic order, which is clearly into proselytization, into tabligh of Christianity, very strong tabligh of Christianity, which they have done through the centuries, quite literally, the Jesuit priests. Now, the university, as you enter the gate of the university, is also in the photographs. You see two things. You see on your right a very big and prominent church, which is right at the entrance of the university. And right in front of you, you see the main administrative building, which is an 8-story building, glass fronted, very, very modern. From the main building, if you take a left, you go up to where the guest house is, and on the way you pass all the hostels, student hostels, you pass another academic building, and so on and so forth. And what strikes you is the absolutely pure, clean atmosphere of the place. There's not a scrap of paper anywhere, there's not a piece of plastic anywhere, it's completely, totally, beautifully clean. There's a nice, well-maintained garden, well-maintained, playing areas and everything else. And you can see from the pictures that I have taken that you can see the excellence that is visible everywhere in this institution. But the only within quotes criticism that I would make is that there are probably too many buildings for the space. Maybe they should have given more space, but then they are famous for, this is part of XLRI, which is one of the top five management institutions in the country, on par with the IIMs, on par with the Indian Institutes of Management. And Xavier University and XIMB, which is another part of Xavier's in Bhubaneswar also, is all of them are part of that whole setup. The reason I'm saying all of this is because technically in our language, I am in a Christian madrasa. The three top positions in this university, and that's as a matter of policy with the Jesuit priests, are held by priests. The vice chancellor is a priest, Jesuit priest. The head of administration is the Jesuit priest, and the head of finance is a Jesuit priest. But now, each of them has at least a PhD in the discipline that he is in charge of. So the head of finance is a chartered accountant and he has a PhD in finance. The head of administration is an MBA and he has a PhD in administration. And the vice chancellor in this particular case has a PhD in journalism and communication. Now the point I'm making is that they also are priests. They are ordained Jesuit Catholic priests. But they wear the thobe and they wear the belt and everything else. So they are not they don't dress in suit. They do dress in suits also if required. But the cassock, which is what the thobe is called, they have the cassock and they wear their Christian robes. There's church service in the morning and so on and so forth, all of which is of course voluntary. There's no compulsion on anybody to attend it, but everything is there. So it's very clearly a Christian institution. The emblem very clearly says for the greater glory of God. It's a Christian institution run by Christian priests, and it's in a very Hindu city of Bhubaneswar, and of course in all over India. Why is it there? And why is it that it's one of the top universities in the country in terms of its reputation? They charge a fee on par with everybody else. Of course, Christian students can apply for scholarships, which they get 100% free scholarship if that is sanctioned for them. Most of the time it is, of course. The point I'm making is the strategic importance of excellence. Christians are a minority. They are far, far, far smaller minority than Muslims in this country. Yet, they have, and Xavier's is only one of them, there are any number of Christian schools and colleges and universities in this country, and we all know that, which are run by priests and nuns, which are run on Christian lines. The schools have actually formal assembly begins with worship. Assembly begins with the Lord's Prayer. They have all of this, and they have had it for centuries, and they have trained the leadership of this country. That's the strategic importance of excellence. You have an institution of excellence, people support it, and people will come. Second benefit is that these institutions, quite contrary to what people think, the Christians in this country, they do get funding from outside, but they do not get humongous amounts of funds from outside. They generate their own funds through their education activities in the country. So the education they provide, some of it is free, a lot of it is not free. The fee is on par with everybody else, but so is the quality of education. So people come and they pay the fees, and that goes now to run their Christian activities. So here we have a situation. Now, I look for the Muslims in this Xavier University in Bhubaneswar. There are three. One is the caretaker in the guest house. The second one is the caretaker in the, he's the responsible for the classrooms, meaning he makes sure the boards are clean and the chairs are clean and so on and so forth. And the third one is another person at the same level, which is a level of a peon level in the office. That's it. Three Muslim men are in this university. That's it. Now you might say, well, there's discrimination against Muslims, and Muslims are not employed. Why are there no Muslims among the professors and so on and so forth? Whereas there are many Hindus. There are, of course, quite a lot of Christians, but there are also many Hindus. You say, why are there no Muslims? Muslims are discriminated against. Then ask the question, why am I here? I'm a Muslim, very visibly and clearly. Why am I here? And believe me, I didn't apply. I was invited. Why am I here? The question is not an issue of Muslim or not Muslim. The question is, what can you contribute? For me, the tragedy is two ways. Why am I here? Which means, why am I teaching in a Christian institution to which I have been invited to teach? And why am I not in a Muslim institution where I can teach? Obviously, what I teach here, I can teach there as well. Why am I not there? Because there is no Muslim institution on par with this which can use what I teach. That is the tragic situation of Muslims and Islam in this country. There is no Muslim institution where I can teach what I know and what I'm able to teach. Not because I don't know it, but because there is no institution on par with something like this which can invite me where I can teach that. My brothers and sisters, when will we wake up? Here we have and I'm giving you all of this. I don't want to rub salt into the wound by saying, what about our this and our that? I'll leave you to do the guesswork for that. Ask yourself this question and say that how is it that these people are able to create these islands of excellence, whereas parallelly, what do we have in our teaching institutions? Now, it's not, I have said this a million times and I'll say it a million times more. It is not an issue of funding. It's an issue of the focus on excellence. You do not need funding to make sure that there is no trash on the ground. You need a trash can which people will use. That's all you need, right? It's not a question of funding. It's a question of creating excellence, because excellence draws its own funding. How do these people have the funds? Because they have created an institution of excellence. So there are people who are willing to come here and pay a fee to study here, and that fee is the funding for the institution. If they did not create the institution of excellence, nobody would come, nobody would pay a fee, and they would also have to go around with a begging bowl in their hand, begging people for money to run the place and tell people, please give money for sawab. These people are not talking about sawab. They said, give me the money for the fees for your child, because I will give that child a number one globally, number one excellent education, comparable to a global standard, and people are willing to pay. And that is the secret and the strategy of excellence and the strategic value of excellence. If we can create that, then we free ourselves from all of these the binds that we have bound ourselves into, and that can only happen if we stop lying to ourselves and if we stop fooling ourselves. We have to face the fact that this is the situation we are in, is a situation that we have created, and that's a good thing, because that we can change that situation. The benefit of accepting a mistake is that the power to change that mistake is then given into your hands. It's our choice whether we want to accept the mistake or not. That's why the first dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught human beings was, رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِنْ لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Accept your mistake. If you accept your mistake, then you get forgiven. If you don't accept your mistake, there is no forgiveness. And that's what I remind myself and you. Let us accept the mistake. Let's accept what we have done to ourselves in this country and globally. And let us get up off our backsides and start making changes. As long as we don't do that, as long as we continue to fool ourselves, we will be condemned to repeat our history over and over again. Nations that do not learn from their history are condemned to repeat it. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.